It's the bachelor lifestyle. It's the bachelor lifestyle. Can I sleep for a minute? It's my first impression, Rose. Brian Beck and Jay Stewart breaking down all the shows. It's The Bachelor on ABC with Chris Harrison. You crying in a limo sent home. How embarrassing. The most dramatic ever. And that's what we like. Play your cards right. You might end up on paradise. Here's the keys.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Bachelor Lifestyle from theballerlifestyle.com. Thank you very much for joining us. A little, we got waylaid. Waylaid. On the first episode of Matt James' season. So we're jumping in here after two episodes to recap and get caught up on everything. And I believe this is the first, and Jay Stu will correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this is the first Bachelor ever to be consistently referred to by his entire name. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Jason Stewart. Jason, what's up?
Hello, everybody.
Has there ever been another full name Bachelor? I know Byron Velvick is my all time favorite Bachelor, but I think he was just called Byron. Firestone.
Remember, I pointed this out in the last episode of The Bachelorette. That was 4 days ago. I pointed out that. And now, when I heard about Matt James, I thought about it even more. I'm now even more convinced. Like I said, that it was always one of those things where if you went on the air on radio or TV ever, you were just your first name if you were a regular person, yep, because they didn't want people to find you. Yep. But now social media has made everybody accessible. In fact, they probably want you to know their last name so you can find them and follow them.
They definitely do.
There's no hesitation to do a last name on these things.
But who was the last Bachelor?
It wasn't Underwood.
Colton Underwood. But he was just called Colton. He wasn't referred to as Colton Underwood the whole time.
Yeah.
There's been a Bachelor in between then. Ari Leyendyke? No, he was before.
Well, who was the last Bachelorette? Whoever Tayshia. She got denied by. Oh, no. That's right.
Claire.
The last Bachelorette was Claire, and she didn't come from the previous season. Yeah. Tayshia didn't come from the previous season. So who the hell was the last Bachelor?
I don't know.
To me, that's the brilliance of this show, because I think every single other Bachelor podcast out there, and there's probably 180 of them, I guarantee that somebody would have known the Bachelor and the Final Four, like within seconds. I don't recall who it was.
No, people are listening to us, and they're disgusted that we can't remember the name of the last Bachelor. They're like, why? Who gave these guys a podcast? Who listens to this bullshit? These guys don't even know the history.
By the way, we should probably reset this fact. We should reset our brand, and that maybe people are listening for the first time here. We are the Bachelor podcast that does no spoilers. We know about what has happened. Most of the world knows. We don't. We take pride in that. And we also take pride in not knowing a whole lot about this thing, even though we've been doing 8 years of it or however long we've been doing it. We don't really know much about it. Like literally after the season, I completely forget about what just happened.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. It's mind numbing to watch. It's horrible. So it's like, why would I retain any of this stuff? Because I hated watching it the first time. Why am I holding that information? Unless we're talking about either A, Byron Velvick, my all time favorite Bachelor, or two, of course, Bob Guinea, the Bachelor record holder for most conquests during a season. Okay.
God bless Bob Guinea, by the way.
Great day.
He was kind of a chubby dude during the first Bachelorette. He got picked the Bachelor, got a personal trainer, and just hit everything in his path once he became that much more famous. But anyway.
I actually know the Bob Guinea origin story, and you're a little off. Bob Guinea. he was the chubby funny guy on the first Bachelorette because he had blown out his knee like playing hoop or something, playing a little pickup hoop in the park, and got fat. So he wasn't naturally fat. He'd gotten fat sitting around because he couldn't move. So he's just hanging out, drinking beer, chilling, and he got fat. So when he showed up as the Bachelor, people are like, oh, Bob Guinea got skinny. Other way around, he actually got fat for the Bachelorette.
Holy shit.
I know, it's crazy, right?
So you have a Bob Guinea origin story, but yep. You still haven't figured out who last Bachelor was.
It's still,
let's make sure that's noted.
I want to know.
All right, so, no, that's the thing. We can't Google that.
Yeah.
We want some of our ardent listeners that always catches us on stuff.
They'll tell
us.
We
want them to be screaming at their iPhone right now.
Kayfabe will sort us out, or Drew Vaz.
Yeah, Kayfabe, she keeps this whole thing honest. I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
What's his face? Our guy.
David Bray.
I like the fact that he binges them like 5 weeks down the road and then has comments about the previous 5 weeks.
That reminds me.
That's a cool thing to
that
do.
That reminds me. I think we have email that I've been letting sit. I'll let you pick the way we go. Do you want to start talking about Matt James? Save some first names for the rest of us.
Let's take care of some business. Let's do an email or two.
Okay. You know what? I think it might actually be there might be email and voicemail. You know what? I wasn't really prepped. I'd forgotten. That's how into the show I am. Well, let's start talking about Matt James's season, and then we'll wrap up with all the email voicemail.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, right? Matt James is the first Black Bachelor.
Black Bachelor.
He's interracial, just like Tayshia was. So technically we haven't had a full Black Bachelor. But he's an impressive guy. He's very well educated. He has obviously a great moral compass. He's a religious man from North Carolina.
That's right.
He's smart, and I like him a lot. He comes off as real likable.
In the first,
works with kids.
So when he first showed up, or you know, they all show up. And they all went up a big flight of stairs as they arrived, and he took a long look at every single one of their asses as they walked up the stairs after he and there were a couple very worthy of being checked out. So I'm not mad at Matt James for that. But then he came in and he's like, he made his grand entrance, you know, and they're all with their champagne, and he's like, hey, guys, before we start, I hope you don't mind, but I'd like to say a little blessing. Jay Stu, the swooning that happened in that room, the amount of whatever was going on in there, never has a man been more beloved than in that moment, than when he said that prayer. They all pretty much lost their breath. It was beautiful. Yes, he's a man of faith. He's an impressive guy. He's very, what's he about, 6'7", 6'5", at least?
Yeah, and it's a subject of jokes. You know, all these people have like one thing. Obviously, the pilot, who I think that was the last Bachelor. The pilot had his thing,
yeah.
Obviously. So yeah. They have to always kind of make jokes around that.
Yeah.
And Chris Harrison, who I theorized last season, must have got a bump in pay, a new title on the show, and with that in his contract, needs to be utilized more, get more FaceTime.
There's a rumor he's leaving The Bachelor, by the way.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so
we don't traffic in spoilers here.
Stunted start was that they did their kind of prerequisite thing where they show him, they get into his story. He's got his shirt off a lot he's just got this chiseled body. They did the vignettes, which is, I've noticed kind of the vignettes have been, fewer and fewer. Their focus groups probably have given them feedback of let's skip the vignettes and get to the limos.
Yeah.
But you know, you always kind of are giving a look-see into who will probably last a few episodes.
It's always the first one.
There's a professional ballerina.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. There's a professional ballerina. There's a deaf contestant,
deaf chick.
Born deaf, but now she, but now she has the what do you call it? The hearing device, so she's able to hear, and I think she's had that for a while now. So
Good for
you
her.
Can't really necessarily know if she's deaf or not.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie is an Ethiopian pharmacist who got to the States 9 years ago, and that's very important because when she walked up to him out of the limo, said, "I came from Ethiopia for you." And
right,
which would have been
ago.
Really weird that 9 years ago she knew that a guy, Matt James, was going to be on The Bachelor.
And so when she came from Ethiopia 9 years ago, so she arrived from Ethiopia when she was 43 years old?
Yeah, she seems a little bit older than the
you know,
rest.
They don't keep – this is a lot like – who's the third baseman that's going to the Hall of Fame? Adrian Beltre. This is a lot like when the Dodgers signed him when he was 14, but he was claiming he was 16. Or it's usually the other way around, these guys come from San Pedro de Macorís because they can pick it a little bit, and they use their cousin's birth certificate so they can seem a little bit younger. They don't keep a lot of good records in these third world countries, so I'm doing that thinking emoji where I'm scratching my beard a little bit when I look at the Ethiopian chick who's been here for 9 years and she came for Matt James, because I think she's claiming to be like in her early 30s, and I'm having some trouble with that. That's all.
Oh, by the way, we haven't hit on this yet. The resort that the Bachelor chose to shoot in is what is it? Nemacolin?
It's in Pennsylvania. Hard pass.
Farmington, PA. Yeah. It's like I guess we just got done with the La Quinta and they couldn't do it there again. So now it's I guess the good thing about the Farmington, PA thing is that there's like wilderness and there's things to do outside.
Oh yeah, he almost murdered a chick on an ATV.
Yeah, he spazzed out and almost murdered her. But but I will say, in each of those vignettes that we were just talking about, every single one of them had the woman either dancing or jumping on their bed in the resort.
Wow.
You could just tell that obviously quarantine or whatever they're doing, and they just have little or nothing to do. They're just jumping and dancing on beds.
Did they show him? Am I kidding? See, the problem is these shows run together. Did they show him like dive into his bed or something? Or am I thinking of Tayshia season? I remember seeing people like splashing into their bed like they had just gotten out of prison.
I don't. Maybe he probably
it's a
did.
Bed.
It. They always make a big deal out of the bed.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the vignettes, and it's not great for her. Like this Sarah from San Diego, she's a broadcast journalist, I think out in Palm Springs. Her dad's got ALS, like a real heart wrenching story. Yeah. It's sad. It's really kind of inspirational that she quit her life to take care of and stuff.
Totally.
It has no place. It has no place on this show. Like this show is far too dirty and negative and all this shit for like a real like life, like, you know, saint to be in it. So we'll see what happens with her.
It is kind of weird. And also they're like, oh, she quit her job in Palm Springs. Well, that's like market like 300 and something. It's not.
I love how you just dismiss a job in broadcasting, a small job in broadcasting, even though you've been trying and you've never gotten a job in broadcasting. I mean, I hate to hit under the belt here, Brian, but you can't dismiss. She had an on air job anchoring and reporting that in a market close to Los Angeles.
Well,
that's nothing to sneeze at.
I could never get that kind of. I could never get that job. Have you seen me?
But
the people that are on air are beautiful almost exclusively, and she is no shakes either. What I'm saying though is that it's very noble that she's taking care of her dad, and it's awful. I feel so sorry for her and her family.
And by the way,
but that's a gettable job. Like, it's not like she's walking away from KCBS in Los Angeles or even something in San Antonio or Phoenix.
Well, we'll just agree to disagree. I'm someone who is very familiar with what it takes to get to that point. And yeah, but I will say this,
Internship. Yeah.
Sarah, she's good looking, but kept thinking she looked like a past contestant, and then it hit me. Like, she's a younger, prettier version of the daughter in Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah. Well, the daughter in Schitt's Creek is very pretty.
No, she's hot.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't place it. But she, in her mannerisms and the way she looks like that chick. If you don't care to watch the show and you're just trying to picture something.
She, I think Sarah's very cute. She's 24. It is kind of weird, though, where she's like just meets this guy and he does the thing. And I don't know, this has probably never happened on The Bachelor before. He does the thing where he's like, I like Sarah, but I feel like she's holding back. And if she doesn't open up to me, we're going to have some problems. Dude. It's a first date. You don't have to tell somebody about your father's debilitating death sentence on the first date.
And if you think about it, like, him saying that is the prodding of the producer.
Of course.
The producer says, there was an exchange that was kind of awkward a minute ago. You need to say something on camera about there's something there. She's holding back because they want him to have a natural, organic response to what she's holding back.
Yeah.
But they don't want to tell him what it is. And then when he actually got the information that she was holding back, he probably felt like an asshole.
Of course.
Like it's a real cruel thing that the producers play with these people. But yeah, and she seems like a genuine person. I like her a lot. And again, she's probably way too good for this show. So we'll see what happens with her.
And then when she just to put a button on that, she goes, she's like, look, I got to tell you something. You were asking about my family. You could tell I was holding back. Then she tells the whole story of his ALS diagnosis and how she quit her job in Market 279 to take care of him. All very noble. But then this Matt guy, I wasn't too sure about him. And I'm still not sure about him. But he's like, I'm going to pray for your dad. Thank you for telling me that. I'm so sorry to you and your family. You're in my thoughts. My faith gets me through these times. And he says all the right things, right? And then he goes, what do you need from me to be the most to help you through this process of like not the dad with ALS, but the bachelor? He's like, how can I give to you to make this an easier enjoyable experience to you? When has that ever been said on The Bachelor? That was there were undergarments soaking from coast to coast when he did that. I mean, the guy is very, very, he seems authentic and he's very, very smooth in those moments, I thought.
No, in those moments, those interpersonal moments, he really knows what to say. And I don't think it's like just him being smooth and him being like a Lando Calrissian. I think he actually is genuine and he cares about these people. And that's what I like the guy. I like the guy for that. But I will say this to button up Sarah. She really put a clock on this, which is unfair to do to him and the show. She says, and I hate to laugh. He was diagnosed with ALS. We were given 3 to 5 years and he has surpassed that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, so me being away from him and being on the show, and I'm thinking, holy shit, that's a great way to get like voted off next. Or if you are somebody special, he's going to feel guilty every single time at every turn. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, that was a tough one. Like we're literally keeping her from maybe seeing her father's last words. That's really kind of that's deep.
It is kind of tough. And look, because the way that date went, I mean, they did some hot tubbing afterwards. It was very amorous. They showed his long fingers lightly massaging her thigh while they made out. He's super jacked. It was a very, they obviously had a connection. But don't be surprised. This wouldn't be the first time we've seen it. And I don't, obviously we don't traffic in spoilers here. This thing's already decided, so we don't know what happened.
Right.
But it's wouldn't be the first time down the road somebody with the potential to win the Bachelor or Bachelorette leaves the show because of a family situation, family emergency. And it is always kind of weird how they're like, oh, that person's gone. Well, there's like there was one a few years ago where a girl had to go to her grandma's funeral. Like, yes. She could have come back. Like, just have her go for a couple days. Like, put a pause on it. Save a rose just in case. Like, have her come back on Tuesday and we can keep the show going. But that's not how the Bachelor world does it.
No. But and by the way, you said they get in a hot tub. We're two for two. So we've had two one-on-one dates. Yeah. In the first two episodes, both of them have ended in a hot tub.
The
theme early is let's get this guy with his shirt off as often as possible, even if it's kind of a frigid Farmington night and with a wooden hot tub at some point.
Look, so, if there's a hot tub available, you got to make your way to that hot tub. It ramps things up. It accelerates whatever feelings you're having. Get to the hot tub, and especially because I get they couldn't do it in Palm Springs, but they've chosen a cool weather climate. I know this was shot like October, November. They could have gone to Florida, Hawaii.
Yes.
You know, somewhere with sun. They went to a cold weather place. If people are going to be in states of undress that we've become accustomed to on The Bachelor, they got to get in a hot tub. That's all there is to it.
That's true. Yeah. Now, we just talked about how smooth he is, and he has the right things to say when he's in these moments. But I will say this: he got off to a rough start. Like the limo entrances. Either there's one of two things, and neither of them make much sense. Either he had nothing to say in those introductions, and he was so nervous that he admitted he was nervous. He had nothing to say, or he got a bad edit.
Yeah.
And it's not in their best interest to give him a bad edit. No. So the entrances were a lot of the women speaking and him having an awkward kind of one, two word answers. And then they made him turn around and look at them, go up the stairs in a creepy way. Like the way that it was done, he had to look at them obviously because he did each one of them and he's just staring at their ass walking up the stairway and then making pretty like loud vocal commentary, which I think they've always done that, but it just seems to be more obvious nowadays. Like the chick is like 5 feet from him and he's saying stuff like, wow, she's really easy to look at or something like, but it's just weird.
In Matt James' defense, there were quite a few extremely juicy asses going up those stairs. Like it would be hard to look away, especially because it's a very steep set of stairs there. So it's like, all right, go on in. And as she's walking away, her ass is eye height like one second later. So you get it.
Right. So there was like, if we can talk about the limo entrances for a couple of minutes, I always say that the limo entrances on The Bachelor, they've done what, 30 of these things combined. And like, there's nothing you could really do that hasn't been done at least once. And it's really kind of a great look-see at how people lack imagination. Like they have a lot of time to think about this and they only came up with that. A couple of the ladies just went straight forward and said, nice to meet you. And that's kind of refreshing. And those went over pretty well, especially this the hottest contestant on this year's show. Her name is Rachel, and
big fan of Rachel.
I kept trying to place her too, and she's white, and the only thing that works against her, and it's not her fault, and I always wonder about this, like when there are cities that have become derogatory terms or like laughable terms or something. You'd think that they would just change the city's name or something.
Jason,
she's from Cumming, Georgia.
Yeah.
She's from Cumming, Georgia. That's not her fault. But that's just I can't believe that the city actually exists like that. And how much shit do out of town football fans give Cumming football, right?
unless they're playing Ejaculation Florida.
Exactly right. Their game against G Spot, Louisiana, in 2002. So what she does look like, to paint a picture, is that Priyanka Chopra Jonas from Quantico. I think she's Indian, but she kind of looks like that, like really exotic.
You think Priyanka Chopra might be Indian, huh?
I don't think so.
I think you're right.
I've looked into her past.
Rachel, Rachel's good. She's the odds on favorite. She's very attractive. She's a graphic designer from Cumming, Georgia.
Seems like a normal chick too. And she was like visibly emotional after the prayer.
Yeah, she was.
So if it was a hit with everybody in the room, it was specifically with her. And I get it. I'm sure in Cumming, Georgia, going to church was one of the things they did a lot.
Yeah.
So she's great. I have to point out the woman that got out of the limo carrying a vibrator, and she became kind of like one of the I don't know. I guess one of the people in the first episode that pissed a couple people off, she gets out with a vibrator. Nobody has done this on this show, and I'm surprised that they allowed her to do this, but it kind of speaks to where the show is now. It's very sexual. They don't really hide it anymore. And she just starts showing it off to the other ladies.
Yeah.
She calls it MJ for the greatest of all time and everything like that.
James, yeah.
And there was a point where this former beauty contestant was talking to him, and he literally had just asked her, because she's like half Puerto Rican or something, like, how did your family do with the hurricanes? Like, which, again, an impressive move. He knows about current events and stuff. So he asks her, and she starts going into this thing where she's talking about her dead family's neighbors in Puerto Rico and how hard it was.
Yeah.
And this chick walks up to her and taps her on the shoulder with her vibrator. says, "Can I cut in?"
Which,
but the vibrator cuts off the Puerto Rican dead story.
Is the vibrator chick isn't Victoria, is it? I can't remember.
No. Victoria is my first impression of Victoria. We call her Queen Victoria, right? She arrives on one of those things that you would see in like Game of Thrones or whatever, where the men are carrying her throne up to him. She steps out and says, "I'm Victoria. I'm Queen. I'm Queen Victoria." And she hits on her being a queen a lot. This royal theme, she loves it. She is like over the top obnoxious, like. To me, it comes up. My first impression is she's a plant, and I do this with like one person every season. But she seems pretty obvious at this point.
Jason, she's ruining this season, and I know this happens every season. But if based on the previews, she's there. She doesn't leave this week, so she's there next week.
It proves my point that she's a plant. I don't think he will keep her. The producers are
keeping. Yeah, she's. Hey, look, I'm not here to shame anybody's appearance. All right. I'm not the most handsome, tall, fit guy in the world. All right. I know I'm very flawed. I would put myself around a six. I'm an LA six. I give myself a six, maybe a five. Middle of the road to average. This Victoria is so sloppy. She's not bachelor material, and she's clearly insane. She's irritating. Every time she comes on the screen, the show gets much worse and everybody that's watching gets bummed out. Nobody wants to see this chick on the show for one more minute. Now, what they're employing the Corinne model here,
right,
where they send in someone that's gonna mess with everybody and be the villain, and she doesn't care, and she's gonna tell lies about people, and it's gonna be so cute. Here's the difference. Corinne, that was her name, right? Corinne was stunning. She was so hot. This was Nick Vile season. And Nick Vile is a dirty pig. We know that. So he's not going to kick out one of the hottest chicks there, if not the hottest chick there, just because she bugs some of the other girls. Here's the difference. Victoria isn't that. She's just the irritating part. Get rid of her. He doesn't want her there. There's no way he wants her there. It's a work. It's a sham. And it's ruining The Bachelor.
Well, and that the point that you just made about her attractiveness kind of feeds into my theory that she is a plant, because I think she's going to last a few episodes because she's the one that stirs everything up. She's the contestant that calls everybody fake, and she's just there for Matt, and she doesn't care about her relationships with anybody in the house. She makes shit up about one of the contestants and makes her cry and all this stuff. It looks over the top. And they have one contestant actually saying, I thought that was a big act, but maybe I'm thinking she's just crazy or something like that. It's one or the other, but she is one of the more obnoxious contestants that we've seen on this show in a
while.
She's
horrible.
There are some parts that are kind of funny.
No.
But I kind of get your vibe on that.
She's got to go.
I'm guessing that they placed her right in the middle of that thing. And the problem with the plant is that they have like a real attractive – I don't know who it was on camera. Somebody that likes him, somebody they had like an early connection with that he probably thinks he has a future with. She actually makes the comment on camera that the longer he keeps Victoria around, the less respect I have for him. So literally, if they're planting people, actors in here, they're kind of ruining his chances of of meeting maybe the person that wants to be with him.
This absolutely happened on Corinne and Nick Vile season. Now, Nick Vile is a wretched human being, so who cares? But the other girls were like, what is this bitch still doing here? And the thing is, she was smoking hot. He wanted to have sex with her. That's why she was still there. Yeah. So it made sense to that extent. Nick Vile is a very base human being. He's a real piece of shit. So of course, he would keep the hottest girl there. This Matt James, he seems very altruistic. He seems very real. And also Victoria, not hot, not in any sense of the world. And here's where the Bachelor producers screw up. They go, we got to put a crazy chick in there to screw it up. But the thing is, I'm looking at the list of the girls. Anna, the copywriter from Chicago, she's nuts. There's gonna be plenty of crazy girls there by virtue of the fact that they've chosen to go on a love game show where you're supposed to end up engaged at the end. There's gonna be crazy chicks there for sure. You don't need to juice it with this annoying Victoria chick. I'm so irritated with her. Go on.
But I mean, just to button it up with Queen Victoria, I thought she was just like one of those first night drunks that happens every once in a while. But then they showed in the next episode that she's like that when she wakes up. Yeah. So I thought it might be chemical, but it's not. But she very much is like that chick that you talk to at a high school party or even like in college or something, where you're talking to her and you know for sure she's not listening to a word you're saying. She's just she's just waiting to talk.
Yep.
To talk obnoxiously. Mm-hmm. No matter what you just said, she does non sequiturs and talks about something over what you just said.
Yep.
That's Victoria. And I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm not going to give up on her quite yet.
Fence.
No, I think she might be good TV. Like, remember, I was a big fan of Chad Johnson?
Yes, Ocho Cinco.
He was probably a plant too, yeah. And I was a big fan of him because it makes for good TV when you have these people, but I do think she's overdoing it a little bit.
Yes, Chad at least seemed, he was an authentic sociopath. He, you know, Chad does porn now. And I predicted this on the show, and I maintain this, and quote me, put it on a fucking bulletin board. Chad Johnson from The Bachelor will commit a murder.
I saw him on a reality show just recently. That's on right now.
Oh, really?
I want to say it's on E, and it has something to do with trying to find love for celebrities or.
Oh, uh huh. Well, he's going to do a murder. We've already had Chris Soules, like, of course, did that murder in Iowa. And we didn't know what he predicted him doing a murder. Chad Johnson, I've predicted, will do a murder, but I want credit. It won't be long. I'd say within the next 5 years, Chad Johnson from The Bachelor will murder somebody.
So this guy, he's impressive when he gets down, sits down with the ladies. Came off as a little bit coy at first, but I'm really getting to like him. The roast ceremony comes and goes. I honestly couldn't tell you who goes home.
Same.
Or who stays, because it's literally a record number of women. It's
too many.
Literally a record number of women. So there's just too many people. Mm-hmm. Right. But he gave his first impression rose, which is, you know, a monumental thing during these seasons. His first impression rose to Abigail again. The person who was born deaf, she's mm-hmm. a sweetheart.
Yep.
They hit it off. So good for him. Good mm-hmm. for her. They seem like two very kind-hearted people. So I don't even remember who he sent home or what, but I do remember that Harrison forced the producers to do a comedy bit with the pickup truck at the end of the first season. There was a comedy bit. Right. Real funny stuff.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that Matt's producer in their private moments is like, you know what? I know that was dumb. I understand it's a huge waste of time, but we have to do it. But they tell us that we have to do these little comedy bits for Harrison.
Yeah, Chris Harrison just wanted to drive that truck, and he made a big deal that it was a stick. Well, it's Chris, you're 49 years old. Like, all of us from that generation know how to drive stick. We all probably had a stick shift car for our first car, first couple cars. Like, it's not impressive to anybody but you.
So the second episode quickly is two one-on-ones and a group date. Now, Harrison makes the point that there is going to be women in this room that won't go on any date this week because it's a record number of women.
Yeah, it's too many.
So there's that drama. The will I have enough time with them? It sucks. It's unfair. Will I have enough time with them? Blah, blah, blah. That drama is already in there. Got that. Bree is the first person that goes on a one-on-one date. Doesn't seem very interesting to me. Communications manager from San Francisco. They do the four-wheeler thing. He almost kills her on the four-wheeler in the mud.
Terrifying.
They crashed. They actually crashed.
I actually used to work in this field. I used to work for a foundation that handled this kind of thing, and it's a very, very common way to become paralyzed. There was a point where four-wheelers were almost taken off the market because they're so dangerous, and that was exactly what happens right there. Is you turn a little too sharp, you don't move your body weight, yes. and it gyros you the other way. Those two people are very lucky to be alive. They're even more lucky that they're not quadriplegic right now. That was actually terrifying what happened.
Yeah, and by the way, they could have been dealing with internal injuries while they were getting in the hot tub and doing all that shit. It did look pretty serious, but they were muddy, so they definitely have to wash off in the hot tub. There's a kiss. There's nothing too Brie is pretty unremarkable. I mean, she's an attractive woman, just not very interesting. There wasn't much going on there. In the meantime, Victoria's back at the house mixing shit up. Queen yeah. Victoria, she picks her nemesis, this sweet gal that maybe made a comment, maybe didn't. And Victoria goes overboard, says she's a mean bully, and I guess she was a roommate of hers, so she Marilyn. Went down and slept on the couch.
Yeah.
So this sets up the big drama of the episode that I'll get to in a little bit. But I can say this for a fact. She chooses the wrong person, because Marilyn is not the type that's going to fight back and make good TV. No. She's going to wither and cry and be devastated.
She apologized to her.
Yeah,
she didn't do anything. She'd been Victoria told a lie about her to Matt, and then treated her like she was a monster. And then Matt, of course, because it's The Bachelor, you can't just go, hey, both of you come here, let's talk about it. He's got to go in one room and talk to one, and then the other room to talk to another, so you never get the whole story. And this poor Marilyn is crying because all the other girls are like, that doesn't sound like Marilyn to me. Like, she's pretty sweet.
Right.
Like, of course she didn't do that, but because they have a planted fake contestant there to stir it up, they should be open to a lawsuit, because this Marilyn person might be deeply psychologically traumatized by this experience with Victoria, and it was all choreographed by the producers. Fuck The Bachelor and fuck Victoria.
and by the way, Marilyn just had an experience, was coming off an experience with Matt. Like, Matt, again, dude, he seems to always be impressing us with his kind of wherewithal and resourcefulness. The guy sits down with Marilyn, who's fairly nameless in this entire thing
so
does. Far.
If she hadn't gotten this fight with Victoria, she'd be gone. Yeah.
And he does a real badass move, and he's like, just hold on a second before we start talking. He goes behind the couch and he pulls out orchids. I guess they had a little exchange when they first met that her favorite flowers were orchids.
What?
And he remembered that. And her quote was something like, I didn't even know if he would remember my name, let alone my favorite flower. It was such a badass move.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a good thing. And then the next thing he hears is a crazy Queen Victoria in his ear saying that Marilyn's a bully to her and she's toxic, which is the wrong word to use in any office, on any team. Like, as soon as you throw the word toxic out there, then everything has to explode because you have to react to it. That was the big drama of the night, and that was at the rose ceremony. And they never really did the rose ceremony, because not only was there the Marilyn drama with Queen Victoria, but our gal from San Diego with her sick father, she had some kind of a medical experience where she fainted and they brought the paramedics in and shit.
Yeah, these shoots go a long time and they're drinking champagne.
I think that's it.
She probably hadn't eaten. And it's not like – this isn't like an attention-getting thing, because we've seen people fake medical emergencies for attention on these shows before. She had a rose. She had the one-on-one date, and it was the last one-on-one date. So I was kind of like, oh, he's – like, they're setting her up to get sent home. And then it was a really good date. She's really cute. They definitely connected. So she didn't even drop the rose. She, she had a spell. And
she had a spell.
They're playing it for drama.
She said on camera that she was so, like, it was so off-putting to see the drama between Marilyn and Victoria that she was overtaken. I think you're right. It's more of like they started that thing at probably 9 o'clock. She didn't have dinner and she's drinking and lightheaded. But they make a big dramatic thing out of it, and they leave us with the cliffhanger that the paramedics arrive. So we'll button that up next week. But yeah. I have to get into the group date before we go. The group date, had a ton of women, obviously.
The wedding dresses. Jesus Christ.
Well, they had to think of a reason to bring the photographer Franco back.
Yeah, I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah. He was the one that took the wedding pictures of Tayshia and the person that she eventually chose.
Zach.
He was the one that took the wedding pictures of them at La Quinta.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this. Like, taking wedding pictures as a date is a fucking weird thing to do on a date. Because all these people have this like thing, you know, this idealistic thing where they're going to get married at the end. And then you do kind of a cruel thing and take like wedding pictures with them, which seems to be kind of a, I don't know. It seems to be a little, whatever it is. But so, of course, Chris Harrison, who's under contract to be on the camera more, after they take a couple wedding pictures and do a couple kissing on camera or whatever, before all the ladies could get her time with Matt, you know, they all put on their wedding dresses and everything. Harrison comes in and says, "We're going to stop everything right now. And we're going to do an activity, like a sport, a competition, which is typically done on this show. They do a physical activity, and the winners get time with Matt at the dinner afterwards, and the losers have to go back to the hotel. So it's going to be this feisty fight to the finish. And I'm going to ask you, because I watched it twice, because I said, maybe I'm missing something. I need you to tell me what the competition was and what the objective was."
It's fast forwarded right through it. It was like a capture the flag type of thing, right?
It was?
I think so.
I honestly don't know. So maybe our Faye or somebody could let me know what the objective of the game was, because I had no idea. They were given paint to throw at each other, and then someone ran across the finish line at some point and they all won. But it was kind of really people tackling each other and doing all this like physical shit. And of course you have that dynamic where you just got your ass kicked on the field, and then they tell you you're going back to the room and you can't get time with Matt, which is instant drama.
Yeah, it was people were like, "I tried at that and I didn't get it." I don't know. Was anyone declared the greatest bride athlete in Bachelor history? Because we did a couple seasons ago, one girl was declared the greatest athlete in Bachelor history because they did like a field day type of event with like eight chicks.
And she was the best bachelorette or bachelor contestant in the history of the show because she beat six other women.
Right. Exactly.
He did choose Mari, who is the kind of snooty beauty queen. You could tell that she's like really buttoned up, and you could tell she really cares about her presentation. And she was actually on the team that lost, but he chose her as the person that impressed him the most on the field that day. So she got the exception.
Mari's pretty attractive. She has adopted the Kardashian look, which is very popular these days. She's got the hair, the butt, the whole thing. She did well in that.
But you could tell that she's very concerned about the way she presents herself and in the way she talks. You know, she's calculating, measuring every single word.
Yep.
So it's kind of funny when the vibrator chick and Victoria fuck with her, because she doesn't quite, it kind of throws her off her axis a little bit. So that's going to be fun to watch. The queen did get time with Matt that night, and she walked away and said on camera, "I haven't been that deep with a guy in a long time," when it was just her talking over him. And not listening, but just kind of waiting to talk. And they got deep, I guess. By the way, he did what I think you're supposed to do. Remember last season we made the comment that Tayshia kind of went old school when she would choose to which person on the group date to give the rose to. And that she would start talking to one person about how great they were. Yeah. Then a second one.
Yeah.
But the one that really impressed me today was a third one. It kind of threw everybody off. He literally got the rose, and he asked one of the women to come with him, and he had a private moment with them. So I don't think that makes for the greatest of TV. Mm-hmm. I think the producers want to see drama and the others react and be catty. But if he is sincere and legit, this is how you handle it. And he went and he told them, he told her personally, he was very sincere, gave her the rose. And then the other women weren't like confronted with his awkwardness if they just didn't get the rose. So him being respectful doesn't necessarily make good for good TV.
That's true.
But it's a respectful thing to do. And I think that's maybe the balance that we're going to have to be walking all season, is that I think this guy does think he could find the women of his dreams. And he's a really sincere, good guy, which is good for them for the casting. And he happens to be black, which is perfect for the moment. And, you know, but if he's one of these guys that, you know, isn't going to cause a lot of drama, that just means they need to introduce a lot of drama.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Do you want to give us your top three at this point?
All right. I mean, Cumming Georgia is the best looking
Rachel,
and I think he's into her too. So yeah, Rachel,
I agree.
And again, I want the sportscaster or the newscaster from San Diego to win, Sarah. But I definitely don't want her to miss her father's final day. But
agreed.
But I'll put her in the top three right now. There was one that was like really, really smoking hot. But anyways, no, I think the third person I'm going to choose is the person that brought the pickup truck. He's really into her. She's from North Carolina. She kind of speaks his language, and you know, kind of the Southern thing going on.
Kayla. I forget her name. Kayla.
Is it Kayla? Okay. Yeah. So I'll put those three in the final three at this point.
I'm with you on Rachel and Sarah, and I'll be honest, I just have not, there's just too many of them there at this point. I like Rachel.
What do you think of Amber, from Costa Mesa? You looking at the cast list right now?
Yeah, I like her. I also happen to be from Costa Mesa, so.
That's what I'm saying. Cause like, She's kind of getting the shit end of the stick. He doesn't seem to.
Yeah.
He hasn't given her any time, and she's kind of a.
Yeah.
She gets real sensitive to that, so I think she's not long for the show.
Yes.
But I was wondering what you thought, being from Costa Mesa, and Amber, 15 years your younger, being from Costa Mesa.
Boy, you're just putting a lot of stuff on Front Street here, Jason. Amber, I like Amber quite a bit. I like people from Costa Mesa. I'll be honest, I'm low-key into MJ, the hairstylist from Hudson, Ohio. I've had great success with hairstylists from Ohio. And this is
when you said MJ, I thought you said you were low-key into MJ the vibrator. Like you want the vibrator for your personal use.
Who brought that? I think the vibrator girl might have got sent home.
No. She was one of the girls crying because, quote unquote, the drama with Victoria and Marilyn took time away from her.
Is it Katie?
So she actually
it's
got
Katie.
Emotional.
It's Katie.
Yeah, that's her.
Katie.
From
Renton, Washington. Katie. You know who I guarantee you is not going to win? Is Kit, the frowny girl who's simply there. She's 21. And she basically should just have her Instagram handle and her hashtags on whatever article of clothing she's wearing, because there's never been that someone more obviously there to promote themselves and their brand than Kit.
Yeah. And she's been really judgy too.
Yeah. She's very judgy. She's
snooty, judgy chick.
Yes, those are not my favorite. I have some experience with them as well.
She says KIT is an acronym, and
keep
I'm trying
touch.
To look up. Is that what it is?
I don't know. Sometimes.
Anyways, give me a third chick, and I'll look up what she says KIT is.
I like Mari. I know that just could be or Lauren, the corporate attorney, I think is very cute, and he's very into her. The only thing is, and this could be a producer thing, it's she always leads with the fact that she's a lawyer.
I don't know if she was the one who did it.
She did.
But her Her limo entrance was so cheesy.
Yeah.
And she's real proud of it.
Yeah.
She says something like, the verdict is in and you are guilty of being smoking hot.
Yeah, but I think she had a packaged thing on the first episode where they were like in her hometown, or they might have been in her hotel room or something, and she was like laying out clothes, and she's like, you know, in my line of work, we always have to be so buttoned up, and saying the wrong thing could get us in real trouble, and really I just like to let my hair down and let myself go. That means she's a total freak. That means you got to keep her around for the end, because she's hiding her real self most of her life, and she wants to let it out. And if you're the kind of guy that can get her to let it out, you can benefit from that. That's all I'm saying.
You can tell that he's into her. You can tell
she's
that
cute.
He's way into
so
her.
She's my third. I got Rachel, Sarah, and Lauren. Lauren is my third.
Okay, so we're on record there. The Kit, just for as we wrap this up, Kit pulled up in a Bentley.
Yeah.
She's 21.
21.
And didn't really explain what the Bentley was. I guess I want to arrive in class or something. And she says to him, Kit stands for keep in touch.
Yeah, it does. Kit can surf in high heels. That's a lie. Kit is the first to admit she has a horrible RBF. Jason, are you familiar with the acronym RBF? What?
Yes, resting bitch face.
Resting bitch face, correct. Yeah, she's there. She does have that, by the way, where she's just like her mouth. She kind of has a downturn mouth. And so,
maybe because she really is a bitch.
Could be.
Like,
could be.
She comes off very judgy.
Yeah, not a fan of hers very much at all. Okay, let's do this. Let's check in with our buddy. I believe this is our buddy David. He's left us a voicemail. He's got thoughts on this season. David, what's up?
Brian, what's up, Stu? This is for the Bachelor Lifestyle. Guys, I got to admit, I tried to watch last night's episode for the first time ever since reality TV started covering the show. Jason Mesnick, I can't do it. I can't get through it. It's too boring. It's too shitty. So I'm going to have to rely on you guys for the recaps. But
by the way, not an uncommon refrain that we get from the listeners of this show. You're many, many people do not watch The Bachelor, and I would encourage them not to. It's a horrible show. He's right.
There's a lot of fast forwarding. Bachelor demands a lot of your time.
It's too much.
And I think people get resentful of that if they're not all in.
Yes.
The Midwest housewives that are, have basically afforded Reality Steve a living.
Yep.
They love it. They can't have enough hours in the week of Bachelor. Mm-hmm. But if you're just kind of a peripheral interest person in the show, that's a lot of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's at the La Quinta, same place my work puts me up at when I have to go for a shitty work meeting, or that's where they put me. So I don't know if it's that or
this must be an old voicemail. He's talking about the last Bachelor.
Wait, what?
He's talking about the Bachelorette. I just realized this is from December 23rd. Let's hear about.
Oh, okay.
She's boring. I didn't even see Claire's finish, so I'm just going to listen to you guys. But also, Brian's question is, like, you talk about you guys are your favorite Bob Guinea. I know who that is, with the curly hair, big guy, funny.
Yep.
And then the fisherman, Byron Velvic,
yeah,
the bass fisherman.
Yeah.
So which guy, like, you talk about, too, that you would like to be like, or not that you'd like to be like, that did the best. So who is it? Who has the record? Who bags the most legal tail? Literally, like, who holds the record, Velvic or Guinea? Because I'm confused. Both are good looking dudes. Both are older guys. So I can't tell which one is your favorite or which one did the best. But guys, let me keep listening to you. Have a Merry Christmas. And please clear up that confusion on me on Guinea and Velvic, the fisherman. Who got the most ass? I need to know. And take care, guys. And again, hopefully I'll see you in Vegas. Brian, make your way out there, please, if Steve has the party. Take care, guys. See ya.
Okay, thank you for that, David. Yeah, let me clear that up. Byron Velvick is my favorite Bachelor. They did one season, and this was early on. He might have been like Bachelor number 4. They did one season where they skewed a little older, and I'm encouraging them to try this again, where it's like people have a little bit of have lived a little bit of a life. You know, all these there's hardly any of these chicks are over the age of 24 or 25.
Right.
You don't know shit at that age. You have not lived long enough. So one season early on, they did a season where the Bachelor was this dude called Byron Velvick. He was a bass fisherman professional from Florida. He was gorgeous. And he was like 40. And all the chicks were like 39, and they'd get all wind up and yell at each other. And he was just a smooth dude. And he ended up, I don't know if he got married to the chick he picked, but they didn't last. There ended up being some domestic violence on her part, I believe, in the relationship. The police were called. They lived in the Tampa area. It was what you'd expect. Now, and I believe Byron hosts or analyzes for when they do bass fishing on ESPN. So he parlayed it into a little bit of a career. Bob Guinea supposedly, and I don't know this, I don't know from Adam, but the rumor is that Bob Guinea holds the record for sexing the most contestants during the season. And that record is 6. 6 of the then probably 18 girls that came on the show had sex with Bob Guinea at one point or another. So you know, that's the difference. Steve.
Reality Steve knows, but I mean, he's got a brand.
Yeah.
And it's not a good look for him to admit these things. No, he knows for sure what the numbers are of each contestant.
I think he's confirmed the rumor. I don't know if he knows numbers. Okay. He doesn't know the numbers. No one knows the numbers except for the two people, right? But he definitely knows I believe he's confirmed that rumor on this show. All right, Stu, excellent job. We had some technical difficulties that I will try to correct in post, but we got it done. It was real fun to talk about it. Much more fun than watching the show is talking about it with my good friend Jason Stewart. You do a fantastic job. And by the way,
yep. I need to thank our listeners for your patience. What happened last week was unprecedented, literally, in the history of our country. Something happened to this country that has never happened before. We just didn't – I didn't have it in me to start talking about these people on a real cheesy contestant show.
Understood.
So I appreciate the patience for the week. I appreciate that.
I appreciate it, and I defer to you, and it was the right call to suspend production for that night. But we will get back at it next week for sure. For Jason Stewart, my name is Brian Hackman. This has been The Bachelor Lifestyle from TheBallerLifestyle.com. I'll see you next time. Balls deep so you can sleep with your third or fourth girl in a week. We making a connection, we falling in love. We chilling in the mansion outside's the hot tub. We starting in LA and then we travel the world. We toasting champagne, we got 32 girls. Who gets a hometown and who's the most hated? Who had the best date and who's getting eliminated? We always speculating like you wouldn't believe. But I cheated, logged on to reality Steve. So it's the Bachelor lifestyle we living in. It's the baller lifestyle we living in. Bachelor lifestyle we living in. It's the baller lifestyle. Lifestyle. It's the bachelor lifestyle we living in. It's the baller lifestyle we living in. It's the bachelor lifestyle we living in.